Our reading this morning from Revelation chapters 1 and 2, we read that John received a command from Jesus to write letters to seven churches. And these letters to seven churches form chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation. The seven churches were local churches in what is now Turkey. There was a cluster of them. And from Pergamum in the northwest to Laodicea in the southeast was around about 160 miles. And the rest of the churches were clustered in between these. This morning I want us to think of the church, what it is, how it came to be, and where we fit into it. First of all, a brief history of the church from Jesus to the present day. How about that? In Matthew 16, Jesus announces his intention to build his church. I'll just turn that up. Yeah, in verse 16, well, Jesus said, "Who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." That's it. That's what I was going to read. So that was Jesus' statement of intent. He said, "I will build my church." Not many words. "I will build my church." And if you want, you can construct a 5-point sermon based on those 5 words. I, it's Jesus that will build the church. Will, definite intent. Build, brick by brick, person by person. And my, the church belongs to Jesus Christ, and the word, and finally, the word church, it's a Greek word, ecclesia, and it means the called out ones. And the church consists of a body of people that have been called by Jesus Christ to come out from the ordinary humdrum life that they've been living and become children and followers and servants of his. The called out ones of the church. And that was his statement of intent. And really, you should say, well, watch this space. And you didn't have to watch it for very long, because the church came into being on the day of Pentecost. And we read about that in Acts chapter 2, when Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. And again, I will just read one or two verses. It started on the day of Pentecost. Jesus sent the promised Holy Spirit, and the disciples spoke in tongues, and Peter preached his famous first sermon. It was a great sermon. There must have been a lot more in the congregation than there was today, because 3,000 people gave their hearts to the Lord. And in Acts 2, verse 36, we read this. Peter's final statement: "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "What shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and all who are far off." And that's a great line, that little phrase, "and for all who are afar off." And we're nearly 2,000 years farther off than that. And certainly here in England, over around about 2,000 miles from where it was spoken. So we are afar off. And Jesus Christ is still adding to his church as people repent and obey him and come into his family, into his fellowship. And the birth of the church was into a hostile environment and a crowded marketplace. People had to struggle to be Christians. People had to struggle to preach the word. But nevertheless, people took the message and the church spread. And it was established in many towns and cities, including the seven churches that John wrote to in the Revelation. We move on a bit. In the 4th century, Constantine became the Emperor of Rome and a Christian, and the church gained some official sanction. Also, Constantine set up a new capital city, Constantinopolis, which became Constantinople, and finally Istanbul. There were two seats of power in the Roman Empire, and there were sort of two seats of power in the church. And eventually, in 1054, there is what is known in history as the Great Schism, and the church split in two. And the Roman Catholic Church was centred in Rome, and the Orthodox Church, which is the Eastern Church, was centred in Constantinople. So that was a big schism in the church. And then there was another one in 1378, and there was a schism in the Roman Catholic Church, and they had more than one pope. In fact, they had three at one time. I'm the Pope. No, I'm the